Hi, this is Cale Clark. Welcome back to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We've been doing a series called A Catholic Response to Mormonism. And as we're winding up the series, I have a very special guest joining me today. She is a former Mormon. She grew up in the LDS Church and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But she is now a Catholic and is one of the most prolific Catholic pro-life voices on social media today. She's joining me today from her home in Utah. Kay Richardson is my guest today. Kayla, thanks for joining me today, and thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks. And just to let our listeners know a little bit about your background, you were born into Mormonism. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing in the LDS organization and what your life was really like from day to day in your Mormon family.
So a lot of people have this idea of Catholics that they only go to Mass on Easter and Christmas, or even just maybe once a week.
Yeah.
With Mormons, it's really not the same, at least the idea of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have church on Sunday, which is basically their Mass, but they don't really view the sacrament the same way we view the Eucharist. They just view it as a symbol. And then maybe on Monday you have family home evening, so you get together with your family and talk about Mormon doctrine. And normally do an activity together and pray together. And during the week, if you're a high school student, you'll have seminary classes. And so
seminary
actually
classes.
You'll go from your normal high school day. You leave the building, go over to this other building that the LDS Church owns, and you will get taught Mormon doctrine for a period, and then you'll go back to high school.
Wow.
Kind of weird.
So that's pretty common in Utah, obviously, where you grew up.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad I grew up in Utah, because I've heard outside of Utah they have to get up at 4:30 in the morning. And
wow.
I would not be down for that.
Not a morning person.
No. But,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
even after that, if you are above the age of 12, during the week, you'll have what's called mutual, and so you'll go meet with kids your age and have teachers, but again, you're getting reiterated into the doctrine and the culture, and so it's not just a one-time thing a week. It's normally your whole community, your friends, your family, they're all Mormon, and you're always together participating in talking about Mormonism or praying together.
What Kayla, what's the interaction like between Mormons and non-Mormons, usually when growing up?
Yeah, it really depends on which Mormon community. Here in Utah, I was typically warned away from non-Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
So we had neighbors that were atheists. It was be nice to them and please bring them to church, but they were never really a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
They were invited, but it's if you were invited and you didn't stay, we weren't going to keep inviting you. You had to be Mormon to be kind of part of the group.
Gotcha. Well, that explains a lot, because when I was growing up, and I grew up in Nova Scotia, Canada, and in Coal Harbour, Nova Scotia right now, there's a Mormon temple. It's one of the Mormon temples that are out there in the world. There's a few of them. And there were quite a few Mormons that I went to high school with. And I've told our listeners this before. I was kind of in love with this girl who was a Mormon in my high school. And she was a cheerleader. And she really wouldn't give me the time of day. And I think it's because she knew that even though I wasn't really practicing my faith at the time, I came from a Catholic background. And that probably was not kosher.
No. You have to be a returned missionary to be husband material.
Oh.
There.
Yeah, that's right. And so. Talk to me a little bit about the missionaries. Obviously, Mormon males are encouraged to go on missions, but it's not for everybody, right? You've got to sort of meet a standard to do it, right?
Right. So technically, the way that it's worded is that it is a duty of all male priesthood holders to go on a mission. So a lot of people that actually leave on missions typically don't meet the standards, but they end up with so much pressure that they go anyway. So the standards being that you've been chaste, that you, you have to be following the word of wisdom, so you can't be drinking or doing drugs or involved in any kind of pornography. So, yeah, there's almost every it's 18 now. It used to be 19 and it used to be 21 when they would leave, but almost every 18-year-old that I know that was LDS has gone on a mission.
Okay.
Regardless of whether they, you know, met the standards of the church or not.
Now, just to, by the way, something that you said there, I didn't have a chance to cover it during the series on Mormon teachings. You mentioned something called the Word of Wisdom. For our listeners, can you just explain what that is?
Yeah, so the Word of Wisdom was a revelation supposedly given from God to Joseph Smith, basically saying, you know, these are guidelines of what you should eat, how you should treat your body. They ended up later becoming doctrine, but essentially the big ones, you can't drink any alcohol, no coffee. Most teas are off limits. You can have some herbal teas. A lot of Mormons will take that to mean caffeine. So there's some people that don't drink caffeine, but mostly big ones, alcohol, coffee, tea.
Doctrine aside, there's no way I could do that, you know, especially with the caffeine part, I'll tell you. But one of my Mormon friends growing up, Kayla, his name is Andrew, and I have a lot of respect for this guy because, you know, we would have conversations about Mormon teachings, and he would always tell me, Kayla, if you can prove to me that Mormonism isn't the true faith, I will leave the LDS organization. I've kind of lost touch with this guy, but I remember one day working a summer job. It was sweltering hot. And the workers were all off. They were all offered like a can of light beer. It was like the middle of the afternoon. It was so hot, and he was so thirsty, but he didn't take it because of the Word of Wisdom. And you know, I do appreciate the devotion. The you know, even if they're kind of you know got the ladder leaning up against the wrong wall, as it were. People who are that devoted, willing to go to those lengths and not betray what they believe to be true. You got to respect that. But at the same time,
for sure.
Yeah, and so. Was it a problem for you at all growing up in terms of like you and your friends and you know, keeping that Word of Wisdom?
You know, it was never a problem for me personally because I kind of had what it's probably a blind faith, you know. I took everything that was taught to me to heart. And so when anybody like mentioned alcohol or mentioned coffee, I was like, no, never.
Yep. Yeah, it was just forget about
not. It. Like, wasn't even a temptation.
You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. My guest today is Kayla Richardson, an ex-Mormon. She's now a Catholic, talking about her conversion and how you can help Mormon friends today. And Kayla, how old were you when you started to maybe question Mormon teachings a little bit?
Yeah, I was 18, just headed into college.
Well, and how were you going to BYU or one of the Mormon, mostly Mormon
yeah,
institutions?
I was going to Utah Valley University, which
okay.
I think is mostly Mormon.
Okay. And what was it? Was there any particular doctrine that got you thinking, oh, maybe this might not be true?
Yes. I went to a class, an ethics and values class, actually, that started discussing the problem of evil.
Wow.
Long story short, I was really, really interested in it. And so I went and actually read my grandfather's essay on Joseph Smith and the problem of evil. And it was actually, this is kind of weird because not a lot of Mormons have this experience where this is what gets them, but it was the view of God that they had and like basically what he could do and who he was and what he was subject to and not subject to that got me starting to question the validity of it.
Well, wow, that's fascinating. So it's kind of this limiting view of God.
Yeah. So essentially, I'm sure most of your listeners know about the problem of evil. But it says, you know, if God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-good, why would an all-good, all-powerful, all-knowing God allow evil in the world? My grandfather, who is an LDS philosopher, basically said that, you know, God didn't create everything out of nothing. We don't believe that. God is not necessarily all-powerful. He's subject to universal law, and he might not be all-knowing. And so that was the way that he kind of escaped it, was undercutting classical theism. For me, that was like, well, if God didn't create everything, where did this all come from? If God does not all powerful, then what's above God? This doesn't make sense to me. The whole prospect of religion where it says, you know, I'm supposed to know where I came from, why things are the way that they are, was kind of falling apart because I didn't have those answers anymore because the Mormon God wasn't answering those things for me.
Yeah, and Kayla, as we've talked about during this series, Mormons are actually polytheists. They believe in many gods. They believe in something called eternal progression, that every Mormon male can become a god on his own planet one day. The god of this world started off as a man, became a god. I mean, they don't even know how many gods there are. And so obviously, with what you're saying there, philosophically, that's an issue, and it got you thinking. What was your next move after that?
Yeah, my next move, honestly, with the way that things had been in my life where everything was so consumed with Mormonism, I just kind of shut down. I didn't know where to turn to. I wasn't really interested in searching out truth anymore. Mm-hmm. I just kind of completely, Mormonism, I don't think it's true. And that turned into, you know, God doesn't exist and I'm not a part of this anymore, and pushed myself as far away from religion as I possibly could.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how long did that period last for you?
Oh, so that was probably about 5 months.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it ended up, you know, I had been struggling because anytime you leave religion, especially a high-demand religion like Mormonism, you know, I feel like a lot of people tend to start dealing with a lot of mental health issues because that's been their community for so long. And so that was definitely my case. I actually ended up attempting suicide, and I am only alive today because one of my friends across the country woke up in the middle of the night and thought that I was in trouble and ended up saving my life. And after that point, you know, there's not coincidences. Even when you don't believe in God, there's no way to explain certain things. And so that brought me back to, you know, I know that God has to exist. He's the only explanation for what happened to me. And so I've got to, you know, I've got to start back somewhere. I ended up trying to get back into Mormonism because that is the only thing that I'd ever known. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up in Utah and growing up so involved in that culture, I didn't know, you know, I'd been taught my whole life, there's no other church that's true. Like, I had been taught Catholicism is not true. Protestantism isn't true. They are so silly. That whole Trinity thing is a joke. Like, none of that makes any sense. Which, to be fair, they don't. They teach modalism. They don't treat Trinitarianism when they try to break it down for you. But
yeah, and just for listeners out there, the concept of modalism is an ancient Christian heresy that taught that God appeared in different modes throughout salvation history. In the Old Testament time, he appeared as God the Father. In the New Testament period, as God the Son. And in the present time, in the mode of God the Holy Spirit. So they were misrepresenting Trinitarian teaching as modalism, which is actually a false teaching. So just for folks out there to know what that term means. And so, yeah, so you tried to get back into Mormonism, and then what happened with that?
Yeah, I ended up, like, I kept trying to go to church. I ended up meeting this guy who turns out, like, I thought he was a Mormon. And so me and him were hanging out, and he was like, I'm going to go grab a beer with my roommate. Like, what do you mean
beer?
A beer? Yeah, you can't, like, are you LDS? What do you... Because he was obviously religious. And so he's like, no, I'm Catholic. I was like, really? What do you believe? Tell me. He ended up leaving me with this book by Brant Petrae called The Case for Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brant Petrae is he's one of the best Catholic scholars out there. And amazing guy. Amazing book, too. The Case for Jesus by Brant Petrae. That's amazing. They gave you that book.
Yeah, no, so grateful to this day. But I started reading it, and it started talking about all this evidence for the resurrection of Christ. And I'm thinking, here's finally what I've been looking for, is not just this blind faith, but here is actual evidence to go along with my belief in God. So, yeah, Brant Petrae goes into the idea that Jesus claimed to be God. And so here I am thinking, if he's claiming to be God, then the Trinity has to be true. Because from the scriptures, you know, obviously God the Father is God. And now it's obvious from the New Testament that Jesus is also God and that the Holy Spirit is God. And so I was just blown away, first of all, by now I have some evidence that I know God exists, but I also know Jesus is God and the Trinity's true. Like, I want to become a Christian. And so I went back to my friend, and I'm sure he was spooked because Mormons don't just do that.
No, they don't, usually don't.
Yeah. Tell me everything. I want to become a Christian. No, it doesn't happen. But yeah, I ended up watching a bunch of YouTube videos, just tearing through books, articles, anything I could get my hands on, and ended up going to Mass and just being astounded by how biblical everything was and how beautiful everything was. And it was like everything that I was looking for and searching for with the truth, where we came from, like who created us, what the plan was all falling into place in Catholicism. And I couldn't find that evidence anywhere else that I was searching for to go along with the faith that I had.
That's an amazing thing to say. And obviously, because we do believe that Catholicism is the true religion, it does cohere with reality, with history, with mm-hmm. evidence. And the same can't be said of Mormonism. And what you said there, Kayla, my guest is Kayla Richardson, Catholic convert from Mormonism here on The Faith Explained. I'm your host, Cale Clark. What I love about that story is that a lot of people, when they become Catholic, they say things like, oh, I read my way into the church. I started finding all these resources and reading and studying. But there's always a person involved. There's always somebody who helps you. And for, you know, in your case, it was your friend, your Catholic friend, who gave you this book to read, and it was a great selection, and that was obviously an incredible blessing. And so I really think that's great, because we do need to study, we do need to research, we do need to know what we believe and why, but it also takes a community. And I think that, and one of the things I've talked about earlier in the series is that when people leave the LDS church, there is a huge social cost, because especially growing up in Utah, a lot of friends, family members are Mormon. And it's almost like leaving a tribe, and you need another tribe to go to. And so converts need to be surrounded by a loving community that can kind of help them make that transition, because they are going to lose some friends. They are maybe even going to lose some family connections along the way, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it definitely so in my case, and definitely so in every single person that I know that's left Mormonism.
So what was if you're comfortable talking about it, Kayla, what was some of the social costs for you when you were thinking about coming into the Catholic Church?
Yeah, so, you know, what I found most interesting is I have three brothers, all of who are now kind of agnostic. They believe in God, but they don't really follow any religion. And it was interesting to see the difference between the way that people treat them versus the way that people treat Mormons who leave and actually go to another religion. So for me, once I went to another religion, immediately, like, my grandmother was sending me book after book after book about Mormonism. My mom and me started, you know, she wouldn't talk to me very often. And when we did get into discussions, she was very angry with me. My grandfather didn't really speak to me anymore. Same with kind of my aunts and uncles. And all of my friends, actually, I don't have a, like, LDS friend who still is my friend. Like, if they wanted to come over and talk anytime, like, they're always welcome to my home, but the communication just dropped.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, and let me just ask a follow-up question to you, Kayla, about that. There may be somebody who is, like, we broadcast in the state of Utah, and I know there's probably a lot of Mormons who have listened to this series here on The Faith Explained. What would you say, or what, in light of all that you've just said, what encouragement would you give to a Mormon who's thinking about maybe becoming Catholic but is a little bit scared about the social ramifications?
Yeah, I would say that there's peace at the foot of the cross. That's always where I found peace, and you're not going to find that in an LDS temple. What you're going to find is a lot of weird things that most people are uncomfortable with, right? You're not going to find the foot of Jesus, the foot of the cross, in a church where there's people that will mourn with you, where they'll pray with you. You know, like, I definitely advise, go find some Catholics, because they, at least in my experience, there's always loving people to be found at church, but there's always peace at the foot of the cross, even if you can't find other people to be around.
I love that. I love that. Christ is always there for us, Our Lady, and the communion of saints too, right? The community that surrounds us that we can't see, also praying for us, also helping us. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm Cale Clark, and I'm joined today by Kayla Richardson, Catholic convert from Mormonism. And let me ask you this too, Kayla. For Catholics out there who maybe get that knock on the door from Mormon missionaries, or maybe who have Mormon friends and family members themselves who have converted to Mormonism, what would you say to them about how to go about interacting with Mormons from a Catholic perspective?
Yeah, my first invitation to everyone is to actually, like, learn about Mormonism, right? There's a lot of people that I've come across, especially after converting. I used to do these things on Twitter where I would say, you know, tell me something you think you know about Mormonism, and I'll tell you if it's true or not. Because there's so many things out there that people think about Mormonism that aren't true. And so if you just start with a Mormon and you're like, how many wives do you have? You know, they're immediately going to shut off and not want to talk to you.
Right.
And so my first two things are, I mean, get to know a little bit about the religion, but also be gentle. Mormons are not people that, like, want their faith attacked. Their faith is everything to them.
That's a great
point. An attack on their faith is an attack on them.
That is a really good point. Yeah. And that's another thing too, that we talk about all the time, is that when somebody's worldview is shown to be false, it's kind of like a death, like, because they're staking their whole life on this thing being true. And if it's shown not to be true, they don't know what to do. It's like their whole universe is falling apart. And so I think to be sensitive to that is really important. I think that's kind of the subtext of what you're saying there.
Yeah. And then once you have that relationship with that person, my biggest thing is ask a lot of questions. Like, don't be afraid to let them explain things to you, and don't be afraid to push them a little bit, you know? With the idea of being gentle in mind, when somebody says, you know, this is why I believe this, a lot of Mormons, their testimony comes from what they call spiritual experiences, right? So they will have prayed about the Book of Mormon and had this
the
feeling
burning in the
about
bosom.
It.
Yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, and so when you say, oh, well, you know, I've had this experience at Mass where I think that I've felt kind of the same way, so why do you think that God gave you that experience with the Book of Mormon, but my experience with Mass is the same, but those two things obviously both can't be true, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so
it's kind of like your subjective experience against my subjective experience. We've got to base it on something a little bit more objective than that, right?
Yeah. And so to be able to say, you know, maybe we have to look somewhere else than just these experiences to tell us what's true and what's false. And another big thing that I like to tell people is to talk about Catholicism, like, as much as you can, right? And so if you are eating with a friend, you know, talk to them about a saint. Talk to them about Aquinas, like, get their brain moving, because they like, no Mormon's dumb, right? A lot of people tend to frame it that way, because how could you be a Mormon? It looks silly from the outside, right? But if you get their brain turning, get them interested in the saint, get them interested in the Mass, they're going to go after something. Like, spread as many loose ends as you can to have them follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, my My Mormon friend that I was telling you about from high school, Andrew, he's literally a rocket scientist, like brilliant, brilliant guy. And obviously, a lot of Mormons are incredibly brilliant. And so appealing to the intellectual curiosity, and obviously the Catholic faith has a lot to offer in that regard. So I think that's a smart move too. That's a really smart move, and some really good suggestions there, Kayla. Anything else, real quick? We got about a minute or so left. Is there anything else that you would say along those lines that might help?
Yeah, the last thing that I would say, is to be a good example of being a Catholic, because that's really what it was for me, is seeing other people really fall in love with the Catholic faith, and watching the difference that it made in their lives. If you aren't good in your faith, right? If you aren't practicing, if you aren't falling in love with Jesus and Our Lady and the communion of saints, and if you're not doing that, people aren't going to want what you have because you don't have what you think you have.
That's well put. I love that. You got to have that lived example before their eyes so they know that it's credible and that it actually does make sense in real life and it actually can be lived out because it is true. Kayla Richardson, thank you so much for joining me on the Faith Explained today. Where can people find you on the web, on social media?
Yeah, so most people know me off of Twitter. My handle on there is Jace Lala, which is JaceLala. If you go on there, maybe I'll explain it to you guys one day. But that's mainly where you can find me. You can also find me, Kayla Richardson, on Facebook, Kayla Jace Richardson on Instagram.
That's amazing. And hey, she's a great follow. Trust me, folks. She does so much for the pro-life movement. Kayla Richardson, thank you so much for taking the time. It's great to run you down. And thanks for explaining your journey for Mormonism and how we can help share the gospel with Mormon friends and family. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks for joining me on this episode of The Faith Explained. I'm Cale Clark. We'll catch you in the next one. If you missed one, get the podcast. You know where to find them. Talk to you soon.